Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am again privileged to have Mr. Ratan Sharda talking to us about his book, Demystifying RSS. He's a very accomplished individual, and of course, he's an authority on the RSS. We've already completed one episode where we've spoken about the spirit of the RSS and a lot about Hinduism. And in this part of the episode, we'll talk about the form of the RSS. Ratanji, welcome to the show. Ratanji, about a lot about, what RSS did in, from 1925 onwards, the role it has played, the importance of Hinduism, and how little we have as Hindus, how little knowledge we have about everything that has been happening in our country. So let's start now again with a few basic questions. The most basic format of the RSS is the shakha or a branch. Tell me about the activities in the in the shakha.
See, RSS is the training ground for all the RSS people.
Correct.
That is the very simple statement.
Right.
Second, RSS is the face of, Shaka is the face of RSS in any locality.
Hmm.
As Balasaheb Devas used to say, that Shaka is the guarantee of safety of women, safety of the society, and also of protecting Dharma in that area.
Hmm.
So that is how people are trained. And RSS is where the training takes place. As I said in the last episode, basically, Dr. Hedgeva started the Sangha as a man-making mission, molding people, as RSS song says, molding a person. So take the person as he or she is and convert the person into what you want her or him to be. It's easier said than done. You employ people, you try to mold them according to your organization. Even for that limited purpose, it's not easy. So when you're trying to convert a very ordinary people into an extraordinary human being who thinks beyond himself or herself. So that is the importance of what RSS Shakha does. It started with 1 hour coming together where the time is divided into various activities. So there are physical games, there are drills, there are physical exercises, there are songs, there is prayer, there are subhashis, as we call, sayings of great people. It is not that the game is going very well. You will say, okay, prarthana thoda late kar lete hain, 10 minute aur khelte hain. Aisa nahi hota. So you are supposed to go exactly as per your timetable, exactly as per the time. And people have seen RSS program, they will vouch for its timely programs, its discipline. So all these activities can character building through small measures is what is typical shakha is. And many people say, Indian games and all. But if you see, Indian games are very different. In the sense, those games are more about team spirit, more about helping each other, and also with least resources. You can play kabaddi, you can play kho-kho, you can play atya-patya, many other games without any any equipment or without any resources.
Correct.
And there is an interesting aspect which is very dharmic. Only in Indian games do you find person gets reborn. In kabaddi, in kho-kho, if the player gets out and the person goes out, you get reborn.
I never thought of it like that. Rebirth of
player is something very unique to Indian games.
Yeah.
So, all these things, inculcating spirit in the right way, meeting each other, going to each other's homes, which was never done earlier. You had an official organization. You are supposed to meet in the office. But for RSS, there were no offices for a long time. They were supposed to stay in people's homes. And the practice that Dr. Ji started, if you don't come, I'll come to your home, see your goodwill, sab theek thaak chal raha hai, tabiyat to theek hai. Maa-baap se milenge, unse prem ke sambandh banayenge, ends up with a good job, or he may be just clerk, or maybe small-time person. But it ends up doing wonderful social service when required, create organizations, create big setups, all through this training in the RSS.
Great. So, Ratanji, tell me, what is the meaning of the phrase Ekatmata Mantra?
See, Ekatmata Mantra used to be earlier recited only in the morning shakhas. And it is basically to remember all our past and present heroes and heroines. And then it was converted to Ekatmata Mantra because it was good enough for everybody to recite. So it was, the name was changed and the typical morning shlokas were removed, and it was, now it has names of the great people of India, men, women, right from Vedic times to the present times, mm-hmm. right from Rishi Munis to the courageous the fighters, freedom struggle people who fought for the freedom, the scholars, the scientists, and the leaders of freedom movement also. So all these people appear in this Ekatmata Stotra, and there are small booklets which explain about each and every person who has been named in it. It also contains names like Ras Khan. So it is a remembering your past to look at the bright future, not just hankering back on past. Mm-hmm. But idea is to keep remembering the great people who made what India is, what Bharat is. Mm-hmm. That is the story behind this particular Ekatmata Mantra. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I was reading your book, RSS 360, you mentioned that RSS is walking the path of Swami Vivekananda. Help me understand this.
See, what did Swami Vivekananda say after he returned from USA? Mm-hmm. And he saw what was wrong, why we are not able to come out of the misery that we are in at that time. Mm-hmm. And India was a slave, you know, nation, and it had lost its confidence. And he said that we need to revive and reawaken this nation. That was basic, you know, mantra. When he went to Kanyakumari, sat there for 48 hours in meditation and came up with this idea. Mm-hmm. And he started Ramakrishna Mission, and he also said that, and if I have 1,000 such dedicated people, I will change Bharat. Mm-hmm. I can change Bharat completely. So this thought of creating those people, mm-hmm. Those kind of people with high character, high dedication to the nation, with certain training, was the idea behind RSS. In fact, I have quoted in my new book, which you just mentioned, about Bhagini Nivedita, who said that Swami Vivekananda wants people to be strong. So he used to say, if you are physically strong, then you can do everything possible. Mm. But you cannot be physically weak and spiritually strong. Mm. So being a strong, youthful nation, that training those youth people, young people, to be strong physically, mentally, and then spiritually, because without that, spirituality means nothing. That was Vivekananda's own words. Mm. Not exactly what I said, but that was the spirit. Okay. So with this thing in mind, the idea of coming together at one time and, you know, working together, praying together, mm-hmm. is what Bhagini Nivedita also said. So that is the idea which was the spark for this movement of Sangathan through Shaka.
Okay. So, you know, there's also a lot of, you know, questions in people's mind about who is a Pracharak in RSS and yes. what is his role?
See, Pracharak, actually, there was no definition called Pracharak when Dr. Hedgewar started this.
Gee.
He would send students to various universities, inspire them to go to various universities, study there and start Shaka work. Mm. He would inspire people who are going for a job to go somewhere else to take up a job and work for RSS there, start Shakas there. Mm. And they were not paid any remuneration. They were not given any support. Some people would go out of their own volition, find some job there and start working. So that is how the initial movement started. But as a requirement rose, people were ready to give their time and everything on their own. Mm. They would go someplace. So Bapura Moge, one of the earliest Pracharaks, who inducted Riju Bhaiya into Sangha, he started some tuition to make up for his basic requirements, would cook his own food, stay in a room. So just to give one example, so that is how they started. The doctor ji would give a letter to some known Congress leader or some local person in that area saying that he is my karyakarta, he wants to work for Sangha there. Mm. Please give him some facilities. So if the person was good, he would offer his own too for the prachar to stay, offer food. If not, he would say, okay, sleep outside, but you can do your own work. Mm. So they would go walking, they would take, they would have a cycle sometime, or they would walk all the night to reach to the next village, including doctor himself. So with this kind of life, slowly as RSS grew, then the system needed to be fixed. So this system of Pracharak was slowly formalized as a Pracharak system by Guruji, the second Sangha Chalak. So then Sangha started taking care of minimum requirement of the Pracharak. So his food, his dwelling, his movement, his travel. So slowly as the work increased, they could get a cycle, they could get a scooter. But basically RSS Pracharak is one who gives enough years of his life, you know, 3 to 4 years or lifetime, because initial commitment is not for the lifetime, but who do nothing but do only Sangha work. Mm. So this readiness to give everything for the society and give entire life or some part of the most crucial period of his life, because all of them are young, is what is called a Pracharak. He can be posted anywhere. He can be sent to any organization which needs help. And for this, he gets no payment. He gets no salary. He just gets subsistence by putting the voucher and getting the money for that expense. And he dedicates his time, including entire life. So this is basically what a Pracharak is. So he is the spine of an organization, because basically RSS is run by people like us who work, who do their business. And apart from that, they give as much time as possible to RSS. So starting from 1 hour in a day to devoting entire lifetime is the cycle that takes you, the inspires through your RSS shakha. So this Pracharak is one who decides to give his full time for a certain period. It may extend to 8 years, 10 years lifetime to work for purely for RSS, do nothing else. So that is a Pracharak. So wherever the Grihasthi Karyakarta, the family man is not able to give that time to start work there, RSS Pracharak is very important. Okay. And he's the lifeline because he connects various people. He stays he starts work in the most difficult areas. He picks up any work that is required to expand RSS work. Mm-hmm. So I would say he's the spine of RSS organization.
Very interesting. And tell me, how is the RSS structured across the whole country?
Mm-hmm. See, RSS, as you mentioned in the first talk about RSS, the shakha is the basic unit.
Absolutely.
So this basic unit of RSS is shakha. Then there is a group of shakhas in a particular area, which is called Vasti today, which is basically a locality with about 1,000 voters, mm-hmm. as you know, what you call booth. Mm-hmm. This is not a basic structural unit. This is what we are looking at now to expand RSS work. Mm-hmm. So it is very intensive. But basically next is the Nagar, which is or in rural areas, Tehsil. Mm-hmm. Then there is district or Jila. Then there is state. Then there is Kshetra, which is region of that particular, a few states put together. Mm-hmm. But our states are not aligned with the political states.
Okay.
So Maharashtra has 4 states and Gujarat has 2 states. UP has 3 or 4 states. Mm-hmm. So this way, RSS has about 43 states compared to what we have in a political map. Mm-hmm. And that is how from then there are so territory. So it was only 4, Kshetras earlier, north, south, east, west, but now there are about 12 Kshetras. Mm-hmm. So this is the hierarchy which finally ends up in Akhil Bharatiya Pratinidhi Sabha. Mm-hmm. Karyakarani Pratinidhi Sabha is a body of state level top executives, say Karewa and the Sangh Chalak, mm-hmm. and the Pracharak of that area. Then onwards, and there are elected delegates who are elected by local districts, mm-hmm. With minimum dedication of many years to RSS work. And then the delegates who elect them, they are also must be at least in regular shakha work for a year. Mm-hmm. So that is the electoral college who elects a delegate. Those delegates go to Akhil Bharatiya Pratinidhi Sabha delegates conference. That is where the Sarkareva is elected. The Sarkareva is an elected post, the general secretary. And he is the executive head of RSS, mm. who looks after all the day-to-day affairs, every operations of the RSS, under which there are nominated. Now today, I think there were 6, and I think there are now 7 Sahasarkarevas, joint general secretaries. As the organization increases, mm. its associate work increases, number of people to support the organization is increased. So he is also elected from the same hierarchy. Mm. The input goes from the top, from the shakha level to Pracharaks, even adhikaris, all India leaders who come to a shakha, then the swayamsevaks are free to talk to them, put their view forward, ask questions. Mm. So this feedback goes right up to the top. Policies are made at the top. They filter back to the bottom, mm. or the bottom of the pyramid, and then the local units decide how to implement them. Mm. So it's a highly federal structure. It is not that something comes is to be implemented as it is, depending on the activity. Mm. Now, suppose RSS decides to take Vivekanand Kendra contribution that was done in 62 onwards. That was a central way it was being done. But at a local level, how to approach people may have been minor operational issue. But Ram Janmabhoomi decided centrally, but locally people would decide how they would go about it. Mm. Or similarly, seva work. So when you say each shakha has to take a seva karya, mm. that will not be decided by center, that will be decided by the local unit.
Correct.
So this is how it is a two-way traffic, a pyramid at the top, but people at the bottom actually feeding the pyramid in the whether inputs or outputs.
Very interesting. And how is the Sar Sanghachalak appointed?
See, sir, interestingly, the first Sar Sanghachalak, Dr. Hedgeyar, never called him Sar Sanghachalak. He appointed Sanghachalaks of local regions, local areas. Then finally, somewhere in 28, the Sar Sanghachalak said, Guru, Dr. Ji is working all his years completely, you know, dedicated to Sangha work. He has no designation. Mm-hmm. And he's the leader, so he needs a designation. So let's call him Sar Sanghachalak. So they came together, they said, you are Sar Sanghachalak. He said, but I don't want to be any office bearer. They said, no, but you are leading the movement, you must have an office. Thank so you. He was called Sar Sanghachalak, and that was also decision pushed on him because Appaji Joshi, who came from Congress background, but was a very close colleague of Dr. Ji and one of the senior most, mm-hmm. he gave the agya Sar Sanghachalak Pranam in a camp, and that is how he became Sar Sanghachalak. Then on Sar Sanghachalak, he is always nominated by the preceding Sar Sanghachalak, but he is not alone who decides. He talks to all the senior karyakartas, whether they're office bearer or not, because there are a lot of senior karyakartas who are no more office bearers, but they're very senior. So Sar Sanghachalak talks to all of them, takes the sense of the mood of those people, then decides among them who will be Sar Sanghachalak. Okay. Till Guruji, it was, you know, lifetime. Where the Sar Sanghachalak could continue till lifetime. But with Balasaheb, there was a decided that if I'm not able to work physically well, I have no right to be in a position which demands high commitment, high physical and mental energy. So he gave up his post voluntarily, and then onwards it is a continuous nomination process done by the Sar Sanghachalak, but with the advice of everybody else. And that is a nomination which is only declared after the first Sar Sanghachalak steps back from his post.
Very nice. So let's talk about two more.
And see, Sar Sanghachalak is guide and philosopher. He doesn't have executive powers.
Right.
He gives directions to the RSS. Uh-huh. He gives the philosophy or the change, as you know, as you see small step-by-step evolution of RSS, which I've done in the new book, where I explain how each Sar Sanghachalak influenced the nature of the organization and expansion of the organization. That is his job. But to get it done is Sir Kareva and his team.
Very interesting. So I think let's now talk about two other parts of every shakha. One is the morning prayers. And the second is the dhwaj, the flag. Tell me a little bit about the prayers and what in your opinion is a very important line. And, you know, the flag is also referred to as Guruji. So for the Guru Dakshina, that happens. So I'd love to understand from you both of these.
Yeah. See, first I'll talk about prayer. Sangha had a mixed prayer of Hindi and Marathi earlier on. In when it grew big enough, when it was realized all India now, so it needed a standardization. So in 39, there was a huge meeting in Sindhi, huge in the sense of RSS work, not in numbers. There were about 30 people there. And the Balasaheb there was at age of 18, was the youngest among them. Guruji was a fresh entrant. He was also invited to the meeting. So where that new the Sanskrit was made as the communication language for orders, RSS orders, mm-hmm. and other communications, prayer was decided to be written in Sanskrit because Sanskrit is a linked language across India. All the languages have deep roots in Sanskrit.
Correct.
So with this in mind, prayer was made in Sanskrit. And all other processes that you see today, most of them were decided at that time. Mm-hmm. So that was a very important meeting. And that is how prayer was written. So this prayer was written by some very great Sanskrit scholar, was briefed about it. Now this prayer itself, which is sung at every shakha at the end of the program, 1 hour shakha or half an hour shakha, whatever different people are doing, or even weekly shakha, is basically a prayer to the motherland. It is a prayer to give us strength, physical, mental, so we can work well and we should be strong enough, but we should, with our strength, world should give us due respect as a society. And it is a spirit of sacrifice that I will do everything possible with my mind and body for you, Bharat Mata. It's a prayer to Bharat Mata. It's a commitment to the society.
Correct.
And also commitment to the organization, how I will work. So what I find what is most interesting is that Swayam Swikritam Na Tadam, Na Saral Kare, Matlab, Ya Kantaka Kirna Marga, this is a... There's a path which is full of thorns, and I have chosen that path.
Correct.
I have decided to do this despite all this. So this is my commitment. So whenever somebody feels, why should I do it? Then he realizes that I decided this, you know, that I will choose this thorny path and I will commit myself to the nation. And the last part is Param Vaibhavan ne tumhe tat swarashtram. I want you to bring you to the highest pinnacle of glory, material prosperity. So Sangha is talking about very strong, vibrant, economically and physically strong nation, prosperous nation. It is not talking of moksha. It is not talking of, you know, karma kanda. It is talking of prosperous nation. That is the ultimate goal of Sangha work. So that is the in crux what I can talk about the prayer.
So one more question on the prayer before I move to the dhvaj. Why is it that in every, whenever the prayer is recited, there is one individual who recites the line and then the rest of the group follows? What is the reason for that?
See, reason is very simple. New people keep joining. Everybody cannot remember the prayer. Okay. They should not feel out of place. So one leads the prayer. There is no huge philosophy behind it. Very simple, basic thing that I go to Shaka today, suddenly I find myself out of place because I don't know the Prartha. You go to a temple and some people are singing shlokas, you don't know, you feel very odd. So just to lead and tell what exactly Shaka is. And one interest, a very interesting nugget is that this Prartha was set to tune by Yadaro Joshi, one of the first generation RSS Pracharaks. He's a great singer. Very great singer. In fact, he won Bal Gandharva Puraskar. Then Dr. Ji went to meet him and said, I will tell you some patriotic songs. So he sang a patriotic song and Yadaro Joshi liked it. And then Dr. Ji took him in his wings. He was from a poor family, but he had great future in singing. He brought him to Nagpur. He stayed with him. Then he said, that song that Dr. Ji gave me, that became a lifelong song. So he stopped singing for any other purpose. When I was told in old age that you can start singing, I said, I have dedicated myself to Keshav, to his Geet. That is my life. And he set the tune of this Prarthna.
Very nice. Okay. So tell me now about the flag, the Dhvaj. Yeah.
And see, we are talking about 1925, right? And Congress had not yet finalized its flag also, by the way. And so RSS needed a symbol, and Dr. Hedgia is very clear, there is going to be no personality cult. There is not going to be any person, because person is bound to have some, you know, some errors, some shortcomings, some deficiencies. Even Rishi Vishwamitra, we know, he also fell for Menaka. And there are big rishis who lost their temper, who had deviated from the path. Kings did the same. So we need a symbol which reminds us of our glory, not our mistakes. So if anybody becomes a guru, a human being becomes a guru, there is bound to be some error somewhere. So let's have a guru who will be known by the spirit, by the nature. So he chose Bhagavadvaj, because Bhagavadvaj represents the glory of Bharat, right, from Mahabharata times to Vedic times, because from that time, Bhagwa is the color of Bharat.
Correct.
It reminds of the spirituality, the sacrifices. It also reminds of the courage, the bravery. Whether it's a Sikh guru, whether it's Shivaji, whether it's Rana Pratap, everybody fought under the same saffron flag. And it also, you know, provokes, I mean, it motivates us, to inspires us with thousands of years of history behind it. So history, culture, then inspiration and spiritual values and love for nation, all this bring together in that particular one Bhagavadvaj. So the Bhagavadvaj was made the guru. Dr. Ji didn't become guru. So that this is the Bhagavadvaj. So you see, there is no personality cult. There is no personality leading the person. Anybody can become Sangha Chalak, any can become Sarkareva. But Sangha Swayamsevak knows that my inspiration remains my Bharat, my land, and my saffron flag. So they will keep doing, what they're supposed to do. So that is the spirit behind this Bhagavadvaj.
Very interesting. And my next question, Ratanji, is where does money come for all the operations of the Sangha?
See, till 1928, Dr. Ji used to manage funds somehow from friends and all. Then slowly the activities became very large. More people joined. You required various small things in your RSS programs, and you had no money. So then one day Dr. Ji said that, okay, how to do it? Somebody is pure, somebody rich. He said, okay. He told the RSS Swayamsevaks in his Shaka that we will have Guru Pujan tomorrow. So you can bring whatever you want to offer to him and put it in an envelope and dedicate to the Guru. So they said, fine. So next day they came, they wondered who will be the Guruji. Naturally, Doctor will be our Guru. So with that, he said, he put up Bhagavata saying, this is your guru. So you contribute whatever you want to do for the well-being of Sangha work in that packet. It will totally secret. Nobody will know what you offered. And that lesson was that whatever finance is not the basic, economics is the basis of Sangha work. It is dedication, your time and your life. It is not your money what that you have. So the first Guru Dakshina I collected was 28 rupees, something odd. So that is how Sangha work began. It was, of course, always shortage. So there was a time when Dr. Ji could not go for a tour because he had no chapal. And there was a time when people said, okay, for this band, you know, that ghosh we have, the musical band, let us play it on, somebody said, you play it on a marriage program, we'll pay you money. Dr. Ji said, no, it is only for Sangha work, only for Sangha programs. We are not out to commercialize it. People said, chalo, natak karenge, uske coupon bechenge, paisa jama karenge. He said, no, it is our work, only we will self-finance it, only we will support it. So that is why Guru Dakshina became the mainstay of RSS program, RSS economic foundation, and this this contribution, which is irrespective of your caste, creed, your size, and your name, does not influence RSS at all. This self-sustaining system of economics, of, you know, financing your own activities, is what has kept it well above anybody's influence. And not only that, RSS himself spends his own money for camp, he spends his own money for picnic, he spends his own money even for coming together and having milk.
Correct.
So this readiness to contribute to any cause and out of your pocket. So who does work for social work out of pocket?
Right.
Apart from Sangha. I tour around India, I tour in my own area for Sangha work. Nobody pays me anything. I spend out of pocket. Every worker, I am not the lone, I gave my example because I am in front of you.
Correct.
Every person.
Yeah.
There are people who have not taken promotion for years to work for the RSS in their own area. So imagine the kind of loss they have gone into. So this is this sense of contribution from your own pocket of every work and finance your own activity comes from the spirit of Guru Dakshina. And it finances activity in its own shakha, in its own area, in the Pracharak that is in that area. So that is how it works. It's highly decentralized.
Very interesting. So one more question for you for this part of our conversation. A question is often asked, is the RSS only for Hindus?
Yes, as I said, Hindu is a cultural term, RSS is for Hindus. But definition of Hindus has also, when RSS started, Dr. Ji was clear that what was per constitution, Hindu is, who is not a Christian, who is not a Muslim, and who is not a Parsi, and a Jew. So it was defined that in constitution also. So anybody is not these minorities is a major, is a Hindu.
Right.
So that was the definition probably that Dr. Ji took. And Dr. Ji never defined Hindu, and everybody kept on asking, well, who is Hindu? He would just smile it off because he didn't want to get into any debate on that issue. He knew he is Hindu, we knew he is a Hindu. But then as time evolved with even Savarkar saying that, you know, Hindu is not a religion, Hindu is a dharma, and Hindu is the very culture of India, that spiritual base of India, that is what RSS believes. So this definition also then expanded. Then Guruji in 72 very clearly said that those who believe my forefathers are Hindus, those who believe in this motherland, those who believe in our history, they are also Hindus. You may have different ways of worship. So that is how Hindu was broadly defined as somebody who lives in Bharat, who says, this is my Bharat, this is my forefather, this is my history, this is my culture. I may have changed, I may have different belief systems, I may worship differently, but my culture, I am a Hindu. So that is how Hindu was defined. That is how Hindu is defined.
Interesting.
For people who want to know, we keep on expanding the definition, but basically, this is the cultural definition of Hindu. Yes, there is also parallelly Hindu religion. And that is the prana of Hindu, that is the prana of Hindu dharma and this nation. But for purpose of social life, this is how we define Hindu. So it is open for everybody. There have been Muslim pracharas, there have been Christian pracharas. In one UP camp, state level camp, there were thousands of people. There was Rosa and, you know, it was announced those who want to offer, have special provision for Rosa, who wants to, you know, do Rosa, we'll make special arrangements. 200 names were given in that particular camp. And I have gone to Gujarat during earthquake. Special arrangements are made for Ramzan, and they were given all the due space to do it. So apart from Sangha Shaka activities, everywhere else, even Shaka who wants to join in, if he believes a Hindu in the spirit. In fact, I read an interview of a Christian office bearer of Sangha who finally moved to BJP. He said, I was attending RSS regularly. I never felt any alien in that particular place. So it is for the people who come to have that faith, and they'll work in RSS and they become office bearers also. And they have worked very well. So it is a little kind of confusion in many minds, people's mind, not in our mind. So this is how RSS looks at minorities. And those who are not, don't want to join RSS, they can have their belief system as long as they believe that they are part of the society. They are not coming from Arab or anywhere, Rome or anywhere else. And 99% of Indians, maybe more, with their forefathers were Indians. Mm. Their DNA is Hindu. Their faith system was Hindu. They converted due to whatever reason. So, but their heritage remains Hindu. Indonesia today is totally an Islamic country. Yeah. Their Muslims run their Ramayana shows. You have gone there, you would know that. And they are very proud of their Hindu heritage.
Yes,
Garuda Airlines, for example, their name of their presidents, their prime minister, if you go to Thailand, if you go to Vietnam, they still carry that legacy. Yes. And that is a cultural base which we respect. But belief system can be different.
Absolutely. Well, Bali is completely Hindu. Yes. Samudra Manthan is hugely
different. Everywhere, not just airport. Indonesia. I was surprised, you go to Cambodia also, the most predominant culture is Samudra Manthan.
Correct. I agree. Ratanji, I'm going to stop our conversation now. Thank you so much. I think one big takeaway for all our viewers and listeners is that in the Sangh, we have Muslim and Christian Pracharaks as well. I think that's a very, very important message.
We don't shout about it. We don't really blow the bugle about it because they are also part of our society. So there is no need to have any propaganda around it. But we have worked that way. And of course, outside RSS Shaka, you'll find large numbers. Hmm. Vidyarthi Parishad, BJP, and Seva Karyas everywhere. You know, in fact, there is an interesting story before, very short.
But I'm going to come to this in our second part because I want to talk to you about different arms of.
No, what I meant was a Muslim inspector said, if this is what this RSS schools are doing, we should not ban that work.
Okay. So I'm going to come to this now. Ratanji, thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.